next speaker, Holm Bradley, lives in White Salmon and was raised in Niceville, Florida, which I almost did not believe was a real place, especially in the state of Florida. Don't get me wrong, I like Florida. But he has came to the Gorge for his love of the wind and the outdoors. His favorite thing about living here is meeting amazing people, places, and circumstances. Oh, amazing people in amazing places and circumstances. He says his guilty pleasures are too many to list, and the way he feels about food is the more, the better. As a child, he was a big fan of Bugs Bunny. If he had a superpower, it would be making people feel at ease. Holm's story is called Exodus.
Okay, so a wise man once said, Exodus is a movement of ja people. Oh, yeah. Anyway, Exodus is about movement of people when they're driven out of their homes, usually having to find a new home. So this is a story about my search for home. I was born in Saigon, which is now Ho Chi Minh City. I never knew my natural parents. I don't know my real birthday. I survived on the streets of Saigon until I was about 8 or 9 years old. I had bleach blonde hair, living amongst a culture of black-haired people. So I kind of stood out like a sore thumb. At about 8 or 9, living in the big city was kind of rough. So eventually I made my way to the coast of Vietnam, to a small little fishing village on the coast of Vietnam, a village called Vung Tau. I met a fisherman and his family, and they took me in. And they basically gave me a job. And my job was to pick fish as it comes in, pick fish out of the nets and separate it. And in return, I got a warm place to sleep and lots of food to eat, usually fish and rice every day. So we would go out fishing for weeks on end. You don't see the land. So one day we were coming back home, coming into port, and we noticed something was a little different about that day. We noticed there were lots of helicopters and planes flying about. And that wasn't normal for where we were, because that part of Vietnam didn't see a lot of the fighting. So we knew something was different. And as we docked, we noticed everybody on the docks, the whole village, grandmas, grandpas, aunts, uncles, all the little kids, everybody were there waiting on us. Well, we emptied our catch and we loaded up everyone that we could onto the boat. Then we made our way out of the channel, and we notice now there are thousands of boats following us. Not only were the boats following us, but now the helicopters are also following us. And we knew that there would be a line of the American Navy out at sea waiting for us. So eventually we made it out to this line. And there was a giant barge waiting for us there. One that you might have seen, something like you might see going up and down the river here. But it was a big flat deck barge and it had a fence around the perimeter of the barge. And we all tried to get onto this barge. And eventually everybody loads on this barge. And I am a small little boy, and I'm somehow managed to find my way and climb up on this fence. And I'm sitting on top of this fence, and I look back to one side, and I see a sea of all the thousands of boats just adrift. Along with the boats, there's everyone's luggage and some bodies and stuff floating in the water. I look to the other side, and I see the deck of the barge filled with tens of thousands of people. There's nowhere for anyone to sit. It was almost suffocating. There was no food, there was no water, there was nowhere to go to the bathroom, there was nowhere to sit. Lucky for me, I was sitting up on top of this fence. We drifted along for about 3 nights and 3 days. There was just the heat and the blazing sun. And again, no water. On the third day, we get an announcement that there would be 3 ships that would come by to pick us up. The first ship arrives, and it's total pandemonium. Everyone on the barge rushes to the front of the barge, and the front submerges. The fence collapses. I'm sitting on the back of the barge on top of this fence, and I'm looking down and seeing all this and going, oh my gosh. Eventually, the barge comes back up and settles down. And of course, they pull everybody off of the fence. Well, the first boat is there, and we load as many people up on the boat as we could. There are people hanging off the sides. They get everybody on board. They leave. The second boat comes. They load up as many people as they could. They leave. The third boat comes. Again, they load up with everybody they could, and they leave. I'm still on this barge, along with many other people. And we're all sitting there thinking, okay, now what? So we float along again, another night, another day. And on the fourth day, we get another announcement. Luckily, there's a passerby cargo ship that would come by. They're willing to pick us up. I make it on this boat. The boat takes us to the Philippines. And as we're disembarking the boat, we're getting processed, basically. I guess immigration. We're getting processed off of this boat, waiting in line, again, Thursday. And as we're getting process, you know, through immigration, they're handed us some water and some sodas. Well, I noticed where they're taking the sodas from. And it turns out it was a big, giant dumpster that they had filled with ice and thrown a whole bunch of sodas in there. So I made a beeline to the dumpster, and I dove in, and I started popping sodas. And as the people were getting processed by, they would pass the dumpster and they'd see soda cans popping up. That's all they would see, just soda cans. And eventually somebody looks in and sees me, and they're like, okay, you stay. So I just stayed in there, popping soda cans, drinking as much as I could, until my belly was full and I was sick to my stomach. Well, we stayed in the Philippines for a while. And then eventually, I made my way from the Philippines to Guam, another refugee camp, from Guam to Florida, another refugee camp. And then eventually, I was adopted by an awesome family, had a great life, got to go to college, got my degree, and learn how to windsurf. And of course, that's what brought me here to the Gorge. My first trip here was in 94. That trip was only a week. And then the next trip was about 3 weeks. And then the next trip was a full summer. And then eventually, I moved here permanently in 2003. And now in Vietnam, people like me, orphans, were called Bu Doi, which literally means the dust of life, just cast away. But as the dust of life, I was blown here to the Gorge, where I make my home. This summer, I married a beautiful woman, and we have a wonderful son, and I get to live my life as I want every day here in the Gorge. Thank you.